Welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the great Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, taking you through this rainy, disgusting Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Marquise Munson as well behind the glass. Fellas, what's going on? Joe, how's it going, man?
Aloha, Marcus.
Aloha,
Marcus.
We bid him farewell.
Goodbye.
The great city
of
Las Vegas.
I just want to know right off the top, is Marquise excited that
Marcus
Mariota is a Las Vegas Raider?
We'll talk about it next
segment. Oh, man, that doesn't sound good.
That doesn't seem too
excited. That's a teaser. We'll talk about it next segment.
We can do that. That's fine. A whole bunch of NFL news coming down the pipe yesterday. We were kind of getting off the show yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour where the Titans made the decision to put the franchise tag on Derrick Henry, and we'll get into that a little bit more today as well. But, Joe, I've got to start here because we were also talking about, you know, Bill O'Brien with the Texans, and we spent a segment discussing, you know, trade rumors that have been popping up regarding DeAndre Hopkins and the Texans. And I thought to myself, surely there's no way, unless you're just getting your socks blown off, that Bill O'Brien would consider trading DeAndre Hopkins, who maybe he hasn't been the best wide receiver in the league the past 5 years, but you could make a pretty good argument he's been in the top three. I mean, he's been really, really good.
I think you're underrating him right there with what you said. I mean, easily in the top three, and you could make an argument that he's the best.
Well, there you go. So we were discussing Bill O'Brien about how, you know, the prospect of being a head coach and the general manager in today's NFL, to me, just seemed ludicrous at the time. It's very difficult to expect you to be able to do both jobs well. And then he goes off and trades DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona, along with a fourth rounder. Gets back David Johnson, a second round pick, and a 2021 fourth round pick. Joe, we hear this all the time, and a lot of people react very quickly. This could be one of the worst trades I've ever seen in the NFL.
He gets
so bad.
Well, he gets back David Johnson's contract, too.
Yes.
Like, of all that, he also, like, the Cardinals are like, oh, my gosh, thank you for existing, Bill O'Brien.
Which also means you don't get Carlos Hyde back, who had 1,000 yards last year.
Who was great.
Who was great.
Great.
And then you get David Johnson, who played second string running back to Kenyon Drake.
Right. Lost his job to Kenyon Drake. I mean, Titans fans, think back to what Carlos Hyde did to your team here in the game that won the division for the Texans. I mean, two guys, Carlos Hyde, and then, of course, after doing a really good job on him, and eventually in the fourth quarter, Watson's like, I'm just going to throw it to DeAndre Hopkins and see what happens. And
pretty
he
good
destroyed
strategy.
The Titans. So think back to that game. Bill O'Brien's like, you know what? Give me David Johnson and his deal, and those guys can go away. It's incredible. This is one of the things, Robbie, it's so stupid that I doubt myself, you know? It's like, okay, we're all saying it's so bad, it's so dumb. This guy, all this guy does, this is his job. This is all he does. He looks at this stuff, and of course he knows more than we – there's more information. And there's reports out there that he and Hopkins were getting along, but
– So what?
No, I know. like, it's so stupid, I can't believe it. So it's like, okay, maybe we are missing something here. What are we missing? Unless DeAndre Hopkins has some – career-threatening injury that we're not aware of right now, it makes no sense. Right now you have Deshaun Watson on his rookie deal. That's when you have a chance to do something. You know, you go all in when you have the great quarterback, the Russell Wilson, on the rookie deal that you're not paying yet. Now you have a chance to do so many other things you won't be able to do once you have to pay him. And it's like Bill O'Brien's like thinking down the road for when he does have to pay him. But in the meantime, screw him over and take away his best weapon.
This gets me back to the conversation we were having yesterday. What is the fascination with Bill O'Brien in Houston? I just don't get it. He's a good coach. He's not a great coach. Certainly is not a good general manager, as we've seen over the course of the last day. I don't understand how, if you're the Houston Texans ownership, you've allowed it to get to this point where you've basically let him run your entire football team. He's taking over all personnel decisions, and this is where you end up. I mean, think about what happened with Houston yesterday. You trade DeAndre Hopkins, and you've brought in Randall Cobb. And you somehow, I guess, believe that you're a better football team with David Johnson and Randall Cobb were with DeAndre Hopkins?
It's like when the Knicks lost out on free agency this year, and it was like, you know what we're going to do for you Knicks fans? We're going to sign Julius Randle.
Yes.
How do you like that? We're going to sign Taj Gibson. You guys like that?
What do you say?
We'll add another power forward for you. We'll re-sign Alfred Payton. These deals are not making me feel good as a Houston fan.
I mean, I feel too. I mean, like, Houston, think about, the Houston sports fan right now, you know? I mean, you already have, a tainted championships. And this team that's just such an embarrassment. And you have some light in Deshaun Watson and the Texans, the reigning division champ Texans. They did win a playoff game last year, even though they almost just totally laid an egg. They came back and beat the Bills. And now this is what you have. Like David Johnson, again, this has to be banking on him being great again, right? It has to be.
Yeah.
But why do you think that?
Yeah, what evidence do you have that that's going to be the case? And even if it is he going to be that much better than Carlos Hyde was for you last year? I mean, probably not. He can catch the ball out of the backfield better, but you know a guy who can also catch the ball? DeAndre Hopkins. You just traded him away. It's unbelievable. Joey Milano on Twitter yesterday, right after this move happened, tweeted, "Not even the Astros saw this one coming," which was a phenomenal tweet, maybe the best tweet of the entire
day.
Very
good. Well, there was some good, the AFC South tweets. I have to find one so I can give credit, but essentially it's evaluating the AFC South, and it's this, and then, the Texans is social distancing.
Yeah. Well, look, we were sitting here yesterday talking about the Jags trading Calais Campbell and wondering, why are they doing that? I mean, there's a lot of moves they're making with some of the roster that got them to the AFC title game, and they just look massively different right now. You take a look at what the Jags have done, what Houston did yesterday, and look, I understand the Titans, maybe free agency or the start of free agency hasn't gone the way they had hoped for so far with putting the franchise tag on Derrick Henry and losing Jack Conklin, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the Titans just need to get out of the way and let Houston and Jacksonville erode their own team. It was a good day for the Titans yesterday for no other reason than what Houston did. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you're – okay, so Allen Bell, here's a good one. The Titans, this is his Allen Bell, 24/7 Sports. Titans re-signed their stars. Colts likely landing Phillip Rivers. Colts made a big deal, too, to get DeForest Buckner, by the way. So
yeah.
The Titans and Colts are stepping up here. Jaguars fire sale, Texans quarantine. yeah, the Jags and Texans are – and again, it's just the Jags, we know that they are just – they're trying to do a rebuild, and hopefully that fifth-round pick they got for Calais Campbell will really get them going. But so we understand. Put them aside. They're a disaster. I guess Doug Marrone, go ahead and have another year and deal with that crap.
Have fun.
But, this should not be happening to Deshaun Watson. You shouldn't do this to Deshaun Watson.
I can't imagine he's very happy today.
No.
Even J.J. Watt was tweeting yesterday, and, he was talking – I think earlier this week on Twitter about the coronavirus and said, this was March 11th. These are truly wild times. That was his tweet. And then yesterday after Hopkins is traded, J.J. Watt tweets, this tweet was ahead of its time. Talking about that. You can imagine how this is going over in the Texans locker room as well. So here we are, the Titans opponents in the AFC South, I guess other than Indianapolis, just kind of bombarding themselves over the past couple of days. It's been amazing to watch, Joe. I know right when we were going off air yesterday, we were talking about the future for Jack Conklin being in doubt. Looks like he's going to sign with the Cleveland Browns, 3 years, $42 million, $30 million of which is guaranteed. And we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show as well. But just your initial thoughts on the Titans losing out on Jack Conklin.
Yeah, as soon as the tag came to Henry, of course, the initial reaction is, okay, well, I guess Conklin's out because they're not going to tag him. But I was like, maybe this means that maybe they actually have a long-term deal. And, part of that is also goes back to – it was interesting. Last week, Jim Wyatt wrote for Titans Online, wrote a feature on Conklin and about how he really wants to be back and stuff. And I was like, it's kind of interesting that you would write that if he wasn't coming back. So I took that as a little bit of a hint. But, hey,
Conklin moves on. The market was there. Honestly, I thought he would get a little bit more than what he did.
I did too.
I think that it was a smart move on his part to keep it to the 3 years because when it comes back up again, you know, the way that the media deals and everything are going, you know, he could have another real big possibility then. But look, I think it's a loss for the Titans. I really do. I don't like for them losing Jack Conklin because I think he played really well last year. I understand it's a business. To me, not signing him makes me think a couple things. One, that you know Logan Ryan coming back certainly increases in likelihood, no doubt about that. But also, the possibility here of going to get somebody on that market to get after the passer is definitely more viable. And to me, that's if this is what you're going to sacrifice, I think you have to do more than just re-sign Dennis Kelly, which is a good move. It's a good move to get Dennis Kelly. They got him, I think, 3 years, $21 million.
Yeah.
You know, Dennis Kelly is solid, and you feel fine with him there. I think they will definitely draft a tackle in a pretty prominent spot here. So to me, the puzzle, the picture looks to me like go get someone and then draft a tackle. That would be my guess right now.
Yeah.
So who is it? Are they going to make a play for Clowney? That's an interesting question. I'm not big on him, but he is he's a presence. You know, the question is how much do you pay for Clowney? Now, of course, Clowney played for Mike Vrabel in Houston, so that's an interesting thing to keep in mind. A lot of these guys have been tagged. A lot of these, you know, guys that you would go after have been tagged. There are some sort of B-level guys out there, so to speak. I know Teron Davenport has a couple guys in mind that he thinks would be good fits. I have to think that they're going to get involved in that, and that's part of the plan of letting Conklin go. But it's a loss. I mean, if you build your offense around Derrick Henry and running the football the way they did and the way they had it rolling in the second part of last year in tandem with Tannehill, you know, you lost a pretty significant piece of that in Jack Conklin.
Yeah, a big loss for the Titans yesterday. I was glad to see that they signed Dennis Kelly so you don't lose both and then just have to go total rebuild there. I still think you need to address that, obviously, probably in the draft. But I think we kind of knew after Derrick Henry was franchise tagged yesterday that could be a pretty big possibility to lose Jack Conklin. When we come back, former Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota is on the move. Looks like he's heading out to the desert in Las Vegas. What do we make of the move? What do we make of the fit for Mariota with the Raiders? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Mike Tannenbaum talking about Marcus Mariota's fit with the LA Raiders. I almost went a couple stops back.
Hey,
how about that?
It starts with an L.
It does start with an L. The Las Vegas Raiders.
It's a loss.
It is a loss. You know, first off, Tannenbaum's comment that the Raiders' offense last year did a lot of good things. They just couldn't score points. It's kind of the main job of the offense there, score points. So how many good things are you doing if you're not scoring points? But
also,
I digress.
Also, it's Mariota.
Mariota. They're like, how is long this going to continue?
Is this going to help Mariota awareness that he's playing with the Raiders now?
I think it's a lost cause this help? At this point.
It's just
over.
He's going to have to switch to Mariota?
I think so.
I mean, Gruden. Is Gruden going to call him Mariota?
That Marcus Mariota, man. Run that Spider 2Y banana out there.
That's right.
Ugh. What do you make of the fit? Because, look, I'll be honest with you. When they said he was going to the Raiders, I was surprised. Thought, you know, we talked about Chicago maybe being on the list, maybe going out to the Chargers in L.A., although, you know, they could still be making a push for Tom Brady. Who knows? But I was surprised that he ended up in Las Vegas. I'm not sure that this is the best situation in terms of, you know, sliding in there and potentially pushing the starting quarterback at some point in the season. Now, if Derek Carr, you know, implodes, then maybe Marcus Mariota can make a push for some playing time at that point. But I think it's an interesting fit for Mariota in Las Vegas. What's kind of your reaction to it, Joe?
I don't think it's the best scenario for him if he wants to pull a Tannehill. I mean, Derek Carr is not what
people thought he would be a few years ago. It's funny because in 2016, Mariota had his best year.
Yep.
And again, I was sitting here every week saying, we're watching something special start here. This kid is really starting to emerge. Derek Carr was unbelievable that year. They both broke their legs in the next to last game of the season.
Yeah.
I believe.
Same day.
And in different ways, it's never been the same for both of them. I actually suspect that, at least in Mariota's case, that you can trace some of that back to that injury. But I don't know about Carr. But I still think Carr's pretty good. And Carr may be, as Tannenbaum said, there may be on a short leash. And so now you feel like you have someone, you have an alternative. But I thought there were other spots where Mariota could really make a push. And I start that list with Chicago. And if they weren't interested in him, then that's what it is. You know, they got Mark Helfrich out of there. Maybe they just want no Oregon Ducks involvement at all.
Zero connection.
In their franchise. But
don't even want anything Nike in the building. Yeah. Get out of here.
But I think it's a good spot. Look, if you're going to bring in someone, like if you're the Vegas Raiders, do you really have to vet guys on how much they like nightlife? Can't find it in any city, but Vegas is one of those places where like it never stops.
You don't have to worry about that with Mario.
I mean, he might go play a little Keno in the afternoon. You know,
that's about it.
And then head home.
He's not going to be out playing blackjack all night.
Yeah. I guess, you know, from that perspective, it fits. I mean, he's closer to home. He's out there in a nice warm weather. I don't see him overtaking Carr this year.
I don't either. And what I'm interested to see, Joe, and obviously we haven't seen this yet, is what is the term for Mariota? What is the dollar amount that he ends up playing there for Las Vegas? Because, I mean, I don't know. Do you give him more than a one-year deal at this point to just kind of see what it is? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, he's 26 years old, so age is not really a factor at that point. I'm interested to see, you know, what kind of a deal Mariota has worked out for himself there.
I'll just take a guess, a two-year, because usually, you know, you give a guy a two-year deal. That would be my guess. A two-year deal for $12 million? I mean, that's just a guess, you know. I mean, he's going to make, $7 million a year, something like that. I mean, I bet you it's somewhere in that range. So it's an opportunity. I mean, look, it's not a terrible landing spot.
No.
I just thought that there were some better possibilities out there with a little bit more vulnerability. I don't know. Raiders fans may disagree with me. Marquise, you may think Derek Carr is a couple snaps away from being replaced.
I'm indifferent about Derek Carr. I have days where I'm just like, why is he a quarterback for my Raiders? And then there's other days I'm like, well, I can't blame him. I mean, he didn't have a lot of wide receiver help. That's one thing.
Darren Waller is great, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Hunter Renfrow maybe be good in a couple years, but, you know, maybe they'll get that in the draft. So I kind of use that as an excuse as well. I mean, he's coming off one of his best seasons as far as passing percentage and, you know, his QBR, his, you know, passing yards. Yeah, he had 4,000 passing yards, but he only had 21 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. And you can't use usually when you bring guys in who can fill that starting role, it's usually guys who are injury prone, like Marcus was, where you need a guy like a Tannehill just in case he gets hurt because he's injury prone. Derek Carr hasn't been that. Like, I think the least amount of games he's ever played was 15, and that's when he got hurt in that game in 2016 that, you know, the Raiders were on a playoff stretch.
Yeah.
They got eliminated in the wild card because of Connor Cook. Not Derek Carr. Good old Connor Cook. But so it's hard to say that if he's the quarterback to take that next step, because I still think there's room for him to. I think if you would have brought Jameis Winston's weapons to Derek Carr, I think Derek Carr would be superb. I think he would be superb, but it's just he doesn't. And he, you know, when he had Cooper. His best seasons when he had Cooper and he had Michael Crabtree. That was his best years because he had weapons around him. So I think if you surround him with weapons, he'll be fine. So I thought Mariota was going to go to Chicago, a team like that needs a quarterback, you know, with Mitch Trubisky there. But you know, it's I guess this is a move that maybe there's more than what we know. Maybe Gruden isn't buying Derek Carr and buying more into seeing what Marcus Mariota can do.
Well, and I am interested to see because, you know, at the end of Mariota's tenure here, once they got into the playoffs, even towards the end of the regular season last year, Vrabel did come up with packages that included Mariota. You know, Gruden strikes me as a guy that would probably do the same thing. Maybe, I mean, Mariota's probably not going to come in and be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, maybe so.
But I wouldn't be surprised at all if Gruden, you know, comes up with a few packages that's very intriguing and uses Mariota's athleticism because he is more athletic than Derek Carr is. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and Mike Mayock absolutely loved Mariota. That's on the record. So, you know, I mean, from his perspective, I can see, you know, why this would have happened. And, yeah, I think that's a good point. I think they'll get him involved a little bit. But it's interesting. So you really think a lot of Derek Carr. See, the thing is, though, he had bad years with Amari Cooper, too, right?
Yes, I mean, and he's had as good in it. But, see, that's why I say I'm always indifferent because he has – there's really good Derek Carr, and then there – it's like Jameis Winston without the interceptions and fumbles. It's you get a good Derek Carr, like when he played against Houston this year, and they almost won that game.
Yeah.
And then you get bad Derek Carr that played against the Jets. And then – so it's like it's always indifferent with him. And I think that's what's on Gruden's mind and why he made a move for a quarterback and why they've always been in this conversation of making a move for a quarterback because is he going to be the guy that's going to take us to the next step or is he just an 8-8 quarterback that's going to play good some days and play bad the other? So that's kind of why he's not consistent, and that's the main reason why he's always been in these conversations of let's replace Derek Carr as the quarterback for the Raiders.
So now they have two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
So now they have two indifferent quarterbacks. Who, you know, and Mariota may be different. Maybe a change of scenery is what's best for him as a quarterback. And I kind of thought the same thing about Derek Carr, but you got him on a 5-year deal that he signed in 2017. So you're kind of stuck with him for a little bit more. But I thought Mariota should have went somewhere where he actually had a chance to compete for a job. Now, if he thinks he can beat Derek Carr out, cool. You know, but
well, it's going to have to be an in-season thing, just like Tannehill, right? Like Tannehill had no chance of beating out, despite false reports.
I'll give it four.
And Mariota's the same thing. He's not going to beat him out before the season.
I'll give it 4 or 5 games. If the Raiders are 2-4 or 1-4 after 5 games, I think they pull the plug on Derek Carr.
When we come back, we'll get Floyd Reese's thoughts, former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM in the afternoons here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What does he think of Mariota's landing spot? What does he think of the Titans electing to put the franchise tag on Derrick Henry? We'll get his thoughts next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Reacting to the initial days of NFL free agency, which technically begins tomorrow, but we all know it began yesterday, with the legal tampering period. And to help us talk more about that, we bring in our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM in the afternoons. Floyd, what's going on, man?
You know what? Trying to stay healthy and dry.
Hey, that's a good combination nowadays. So we're all with you there. So, Floyd, obviously the Titans yesterday, right about 9 o'clock, and we were getting close to getting off the air, made the decision to place the franchise tag on Derrick Henry. Number one, what was your reaction to the Titans electing to do that? And number two, how do you see this playing out now that the tag has been placed on Derrick Henry from the Titans?
You know, I wasn't surprised. After they signed Ryan, then, you know, I thought, The obvious move was to put the franchise on Derek. We talked about, you know, during the off season, way back when, that if he could finish the year and come back with a quarterback and a running back, you'd probably be in pretty good shape. And it appears they've done that. You know, I'm going to guess, I don't know this, but I'm going to guess that they're using the tag as kind of a placemat to hold their spot so they can continue negotiations and see, in fact, if they can't get a deal done, a long-term deal. But if they don't, then at least they've got him for another year, and that's going to keep the duo together, which I think means the world to, you know, the players and the coaches.
Yeah, that was my next question for you, Floyd. Do you think that this is, you know, okay, we got to tag him, but we're going to try to get something done, or is it, well, let's see. show us another year, Derek, and then we'll go from there, you know, from their perspective. And then from his perspective, how do you think he'll take this?
You know, I have to think. You know, it's funny with the franchise tag, Joe. It was years ago, it was an honor to get the franchise tag because that, you know, made people believe that you were like maybe the best player in the franchise and we're going to make a bunch of money and all that. Since then, it's evolved into a real pain in the butt for just about everybody. You know, the clubs really don't like it because you can't manipulate the cap. You know, whatever the amount of the tag is, you're stuck with. It goes immediately on your cap. And with the player, of course, it prevents him from getting that big signing bonus that all the players are interested in. You know, I hopefully he's looking at it as just what we said before, kind of a placemat, and okay, now we'll continue discussions and see where we go from here. I'm pretty sure that was the intent. I don't think they just are going to throw that tag on him and then forget about him until this time next year.
Floyd, we've had discussions with you for a few weeks now, and we knew that losing Jack Conklin could be a possibility for the Titans. Now that that's going to happen and he's going to move on to Cleveland, number one, what's your reaction to that? And number two, where do the Titans go from here?
Well, I didn't – after they signed Tannehill and tagged Derek, I kind of assumed at that point that, okay, you know, Jack's going to go out there, explore – see what's there and maybe come back, maybe not. And losing him, you know, is an issue because I'm one of those guys that, I mean, I always loved my offensive linemen and, you know, I loved what they could do for you and I wanted to keep them together. And even though I probably overpaid at times, I felt like that was important, not just from their standpoint, but, you know, from the team standpoint. In that position, the offensive line, of all the positions on the field, it's more important for those guys to be on the same page than maybe any place else, simply because everything happens so fast in such a small area that if you get one guy that's looking to his right when he should be looking to his left and misses his stunt, you know, now the quarterback gets hammered. So I always was a stickler for kind of wanting to keep those guys together, and we'll find a way someplace else to adjust. Now, they signed Kelly back, which is a step in the right direction, I think. I don't, you know, in my mind, I'm not sure Kelly is a starting right tackle. He may be as good a backup, as good a third tackle as there is in the NFL. I mean, I think he has tremendous versatility, can do a lot of things, and I really like that. You know, do they intend for him to be the starting right tackle and play the season? I think, I think time will tell us that.
Well, we know he's a red zone receiving threat. That we know this for sure. You can't let a guy like that go, right?
That's right. The more you can do.
So that's what we were. I mean, of course, just trying to guess on the whole picture here. So Conklin goes. They keep Kelly, like you said. I mean, to me, I still feel like now there's a much better chance, you know, of a tackle coming pretty high in the draft. I also wonder, Floyd, I mean, there is, you know, without paying Conklin, you've got Logan Ryan out there and you've got pass rushers out there. Do you think this increases the likelihood that they will go try to pay someone to come in here to get after the quarterback?
You know, I think it gives them that opportunity. It gives them that versatility. You know, we talk about these deals, and I think people get a little bit of a misconception when they see a guy that signs a deal for $30 million a year, and they automatically say, okay, there's $30 million of our $80 million that's already gone. When the truth is, between Tannehill yesterday and Henry, I think it ate up $32 million of the cap, somewhere along that line, both of those guys combined. So they've still got a large chunk of money sitting out there. And I think the question is there somebody that you know, appeals to you, somebody that draws your attention that you say, okay, this would be a guy for us looking at and seeing if we can't do something. Or you go to the draft. Now, I don't like the idea particularly of going to the draft because you're in the process of, you know, you had a, I don't know how old Jack was, 26, 27. a young guy that was a very high draft choice that you lose, and now you're going to have to replace him with another high draft choice. And I just feel like you're kind of running in mud when you do those things. So I think I would almost rather go see if there isn't a tackle out there in free agency, bring him in, a veteran guy, see where he's going to fit, and then use my draft choices on the original plan, which was maybe to go after a pass rusher. Maybe there's somebody out there, or go after a corner, or go after a receiver, whatever it was you were looking at, so that you kind of gain ground. You know, my offensive line is set. All right, I don't have any holes there. Now let's see where we can make this whole thing better.
Former Titans GM Floyd Reese on the line with us. And Floyd, I've got to get your thoughts on this, because yesterday we were on the show, we were discussing, you know, trade rumors surrounding DeAndre Hopkins and talking about Bill O'Brien being the head coach and the general manager at the same time of the Houston Texans. And then he makes the trade yesterday to send DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona. And what he gets back, I think universally has been viewed as a really bad trade for the Houston Texans. What's kind of your thoughts and your philosophy on, you know, being a head coach and being a general manager and holding that title at the same time in today's NFL?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure it can be done now. You know, Bill Belichick evolved to there. You know, over a period of 30 years, he gradually moved in that direction. It wasn't all of a sudden the owner walks in and says, okay, now you're the GM, because you really cannot catch up. You know, there's too much going on. And you know, it take both jobs, the head coach, as we know, and the GM are both full-time, every minute of the day kind of jobs. And to have one guy get that thrown on him, you know, all of a sudden, I don't think there's really any way that you can catch up. You know, this trade, I think, was kind of a shock to everybody, a blessing for us, because, you know, after playing him 8, 10, 12 times, however many times we played him, we still haven't covered him.
Nope.
So you know, we have to look at it and think, okay, thank you. You know, see you later. You're in the NFC. I only have to see you once every 4 years or whatever it is. So that's good. You know, was it a great deal? I mean, I wouldn't have done it. And that's why I think, you know, Billy O is a good football guy, and he knows the value of like the receiver. And I keep thinking there must have been something more. You know, there was talk about him not wanting to play unless he renegotiated his contract, and he still had 3 years left on it at, you know, $13, $14 million a year. So it wasn't like he was grossly underpaid, but he felt like he was, and was as productive as any receiver in the league. So, you know, you got caught in one of those predicaments, and maybe there was just no way out. I don't know, you know, all the ins and outs. I just know it's really, really hard to find somebody of that caliber out there. And I have no doubt that the quarterback is still in mourning.
No doubt. Well, you see, this is where you need to be on Twitter, Floyd, to see, like, Kevin Byard's celebration tweets and stuff like that as soon as this happens. You know, it's like the Titans were in full rejoice on this. Now, one former Titan I want to ask you about, Floyd, Marcus Mariota. He is going to the Raiders. What do you think about that fit?
You know what? I think it's probably a good move for him, probably a good place. I don't know. You hear speculation of the Raiders and their thoughts about Carr. You know, is it a similar situation to what Ryan Tannehill got into last year? Maybe it is. We just don't know that. I think John is a very demanding guy, wants it done exactly the way he wants it done, and doesn't care about – that's why I always struggle with Brady going there, you know, because I could see so much conflict there going back and forth. No, this is the way we need to do it. This is the way I've done it in the past. And John saying, whoa, 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 that's not the way we do it as a Raider. Marcus is going to be one of those guys that when John, you know, brings him in and says, okay, Marcus, this is the way this play is supposed to work, Marcus will run it exactly that way. And so from that standpoint, I could see how that might be a pretty good marriage between those two guys.
former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM in the afternoons here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, has been our guest. Floyd, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Always good, guys. Talk to you.
Thanks, Floyd. All righty. When we come back, we'll react to what Floyd had to say specifically about the franchise tag and Derrick Henry. I want to get Joe's thoughts on that as well. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, I want to get back into the franchise tag of Derrick Henry discussion because, you know, it's one of those things where I agree with Floyd to a certain degree in terms of after they signed Ryan Tannehill, you knew that using the tag on Derrick Henry was an option. And maybe it is as simple as we want to make sure that we've at least got him for next year and then you can continue to work on a long-term negotiation as we move forward into the summer here. And I think everybody believes and everybody hopes that's what's going on between the Titans and Derrick Henry. But I'll throw this out to you. Like, what if this is just, and I don't know this, obviously, but what if this is just how the Titans are handling Derrick Henry? Like, John Robbins says, it's a running back. I don't really feel like I want to go on a long-term contract there. Maybe he just is going the franchise tag route. Like, we don't know that. We don't know that not to be the case. But it's something I've been thinking about the last day or so of what if this is just how the Titans are handling the running back position when it comes down to this?
Yeah. Well, and by the way, technically this is a non-exclusive tag.
Yeah.
Which means other teams can negotiate with Henry.
It's unlikely.
The problem is the compensation is 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, it's a lot.
They won't. But it is technically a non-exclusive tag. You know, that is open. I guess, you know, I guess if a team absolutely loves Henry, they could try to lowball and, you know, but, you know, the Titans, of course, would match anything that's not outrageous. And again, the 2 first-round picks, that's a
big price.
That's a deterrent. But, yeah, listen, it's really interesting because you're right. It could just be like, hey, show us. I mean, look, you're talking about midway through 2018, reports of the Titans shopping Derrick Henry around. Chris Mortensen, the first one to report this, that the Titans were looking to trade Derrick Henry, or at least, you know, listening on that. And at that point, Derrick Henry was definitely the backup to Deion Lewis, which is hilarious to think about.
Yes.
Also, when they played New England, he had fallen apparently behind David Flewellen, who got a series before he did, and then David Flewellen blew his knee. Derrick Henry had a big fourth quarter in that game, and the rest is kind of history from there. But it wasn't that long ago. They were massive questions about Derrick Henry. It's not that different from Tannehill. Like a year ago, the Titans just acquired Tannehill. Yeah. Who the heck would have ever – like if someone said, oh, and by the way, guys, in a year, the Titans are going to sign him to 4 years, 118. So get ready. Like who would – I mean, it would have been laughable. It would have been more laughable than trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. So things change quickly, and maybe – that is. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's it. It's just like, hey, it's running back, and you've had an amazing year and 4 games. So let's show us more. To me, if that's true, I think that's a mistake. I think that this should be a starting point for negotiations. And maybe, you know, if you're Henry's camp, if you're Henry and Henry's camp, as time goes on, you're looking at the prospect of, okay, you could hold out. You know, you could make it tough on the Titans this year. You could play and, you know, make, it's good money. It's certainly way more money than you've been making in right. The NFL. And you could also hurt yourself and be screwed. Or, you know, maybe the price goes down a little bit on what you're willing to accept for a long-term deal and something gets done. I do hope from the Titans' perspective that they are earnest and serious about trying to make something work because I do. I think he's worth it. I don't think it's just that he deserves it. I think that all the running back fear right now because of some bad recent deals is overblown and should not be applied to him.
I agree. And, look, we talk a lot about durability, and he has been really durable for the Titans. Now, look, the thing about durability is – that can change in the NFL in an instant. Like, you can get hurt, and we've seen it. We talked about, you know, Derek Carr and Mariota. They both got hurt on the same day. They haven't really been the same since. Now, is that the same? Can you link it back to that fully? Probably not, but I'm sure at least partially you can. But Durability has not been a question for Derrick Henry. That has got to play into his favor somehow, you would think, in this discussion.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the guy has had one semi, not even semi-serious, you know, a hammy. And he rests it 1 week and comes out, and he's just absolutely dominant to get you to the AFC Championship game after sitting 1 week on it. So nothing guarantees the future. We don't know if Tannehill's going to perform anywhere, you know, what he did last year. We don't know if Derrick Henry's going to stay durable, but you got to go with what you've seen. And what you've seen is Derrick Henry able to deliver punishment and avoid and absorb it. And that to me means a lot. Here's the thing. Like, let's say Derrick Henry, you know, you tag him and he has a great year. You know, one way or another, he ends up somewhere else. I mean, if he ends up being one of those guys that has a long, productive career, which does happen at running back. Like, it's not all. Everyone isn't, you know, Todd Gurley and Deontay Freeman. You know, then, you know, will you look back at this and say, man, should have just gone 4 years right then and gotten it done with? You know, I really think that the move is to try to make this a long-term thing, even though I understand that's not very common with the tag. In fact, I'm open on this. I've been trying to find this. Guys who have been tagged who then signed a long-term deal. I don't have an example right now. I'm sure there are examples, but I don't think there are many of them.
No, I don't think so either. Let's go to Ed, who has called in wanting to weigh in. Ed, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'll make it quick. I called in yesterday morning kind of with the same thing here. So I heard Joe say, not maybe his opinion, but just from the Titans' perspective, maybe they're saying, hey, Henry, show me again, right? So if you're saying that about Henry, why didn't the Titans or why wouldn't the Titans say, hey, Tannehill, you played 10, 12 games. Show me again. And kind of explain the difference between the two. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ed.
Fair question. To me, the difference is the difference in positions and how they're viewed in the NFL. The quarterback position is if you find someone who can do it, you try to lock it up, and you know that's high value to find someone who can play that position. It's the most important position. Running back, you're skeptical of it. I mean, running backs are getting hosed in this league. Now, of course, the league is more of a passing league. We're moving away. More and more teams use two backs.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have that featured back like you did. But again, this is where Henry's different to me because he is the featured back. And I understand they're going to draft someone. They're going to bring in someone to be a third down back and compliment him. But you are focused around him. But that, to me, Ed, is the difference. Is that, I mean, look, I will say this. I really like the Tannehill deal the more I think about it. You can get out of it after 2 years if you want and be fine. The, you know, 30 of the guaranteed is you can get out of that if you cut him before the start of the next league year. So it's basically a two-year run with him. I mean, you could look at it like you tagged Henry for a year, you tagged Tannehill for two. You could look at it that way. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. You can get out of this at about $62 million. That's the actual guaranteed money on his deal. But, look, again, Tannehill's deal very shortly is going to look bargain rate.
It is.
You signed him for under $30 million. To me, I would have signed them both. I mean, I understand it's like, hey, spend all the money, Titans. Give everyone a deal. But I think Henry's a special case. And you know, what you don't want is for this to sour the relationship of Henry and management.
Ron from Indiana texts in and says, I think we should have done just the opposite and tagged Tannehill and gave Henry a three-year deal with a lot of guaranteed money. Tannehill has not proven that he can do this again. This was the first time he's ever made the playoffs. Henry has proven over and over again that he's durable. I mean, I think that goes back to the position discussion that we were having there. It's just that's the nature of the beast in today's league is with running backs. Even though it is Derrick Henry, I mean, I get it. But,
yeah,
like I agree with your point on Ryan Tannehill, too. Like,
yeah.
His quarterback contract, by comparison, especially when Mahomes gets done, all these other guys get done, Watson's coming up in a year or two, like, he's going to look really good in terms of his deal and his value.
Brady's not making $29.5 million next year. Brady's not going to give you a $22 million cap hit next year. Yeah, look, again,
it's also so if you tag Tannehill, it's going to be a bigger number too. By the way,
it is.
And you know the tag for Henry, frankly, I mean 10-2 is that what it is? 10-2
It's not that expensive.
It's cheap. And so I mean that's another thing too when you're just looking at this next year and trying to build a roster and trying to maybe go out and sign a pass rusher. This also helps that in the short term.
When we come back, what do we make of the fit between Jack Conklin and the Cleveland Browns? Are there too many weapons there on offense for them to fail spectacularly like they did this past season? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.